Hello, my fine friends. Welcome back to Destination Discourse. I'm your host, Stuart Butler, joined today with the Fustalarian, Adam Stoker. How are you?
You know what? The honor of becoming a Star Wars character in a series that you have so much admiration and respect for. I'm just so grateful. Today's an honor, Stuart. It's a big day.
You know, that's really weird. Like, to the audience, number one, Fustalarian is not a Star Wars character, and I'm hoping Adam goes and Googles it as people listening will. But
I don't know if I could spell it if I wanted to go find it.
Well, you are a Fustalarian. I don't know if it's a Fustalarian or you are Fustalarian. It's probably your Fustalarian. But before, when I was trying to think of a word to describe you as, I almost did use a. you just saw it. You want to let everyone in on the description?
This feels like a very British word.
It
and
is.
Definition.
It's an old, antiquated British slang insult.
And so I may try to do my best Stuart impression here. No, I'm not going to. A person who uses a cudgel rather than a sword. But the second definition is, I think, what you really meant. Mm-hmm. A lowly person or commoner. And that's really mm-hmm. what you were going for.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, I thought it sounded more like the Mandalorian, you know?
Yeah. Well, as I was saying, I almost called you Salacious Crumb Adam, right? Because you're salacious in so many ways. Obviously, those that know you would describe you as salacious. But Salacious Crumb is actually a character in Return of the Jedi. So I almost called you Salacious Crumb. But instead, I called you Fustalarian, and you...
And I took it there.
You took it there anyway. So either way, all roads lead to Star Wars.
Well, I want you to know I'm not near as honored as I was before I knew what the word meant.
That's fair. I don't know how long I can keep this shtick on, but we pivoted so many times on different shticks. Yeah.
You've done a good job of kind of, when it gets tired, you rotate with whatever the next ridicule is going to be that you go for. So
we've been doing this for like 40 something episodes. We're almost at 50 episodes, you know, so we got to keep it fresh. But one thing that is not going to change, one shtick in the show that is never going to change. It has to be the greatest segment in all of Destination Marketing. It's that time. It's Stu's News.
Let's do a little dance for you, Stuart. I think it's time.
I've got the words at the bottom. Is that like, that's my Zoom doing that? I've never seen that before.
I'm actually
like a karaoke. I got closed captioning. Was that on your screen or mine?
It was on mine, I think.
Oh, wow.
Listen, I got to be honest with you. The words are there every week.
Well, I've just never paid attention to it before.
You just hate it so much you couldn't even look at the screen.
I guess that's fair. Well, Stu's News today is going to be a segue into our topic. You know, we don't have a guest today. This is another one of those. We do it every now and again. It's more of a thinking out loud episode where I've got some thoughts on where things are heading and concerns, and I need a therapy session. I need advice from you, and I'm going to need advice from the destination to help us navigate it. So this is a Stu's News that comes from search engine land, which anyone that's ever worked on the SEO side of the industry knows search engine land is one of the biggest authorities and follows all the trends, not just on organic SEO, but also with SEM as well. And so this is really more about Google Ads. And so they just released a feature. They announced it earlier this year, just released, and it's basically a measurement of how many times your ads influence someone then searching for your brand on their platforms. And so think about it as someone sees a display ad somewhere out there on the internet running through Google Ads, and you're influencing their top of mind, you're influencing their consideration. Then often one of the limitations of display ads is we can't really measure effectively or at least completely what impact that has on downstream, right? In terms of are people actually performing actions. And so What this is doing is trying to give you another data point. Certainly doesn't close the loop entirely, but it gives you another data point, which is someone at some point within the last 30 days saw one of your display ads, then came back to a Google platform and searched for your brand. So I like this. I don't think it solves all the world's problems. It's not a silver bullet, but it's just another sort of indicator of potential influence of display ads. And I'm someone that's sort of sitting here just long-term questioning the measurement and the value of display ads in general. And I like this addition into my toolkit as I evaluate the impact of those. So that's the Stu's News. It's this new tool within Google Ads. If you're not using it, check it out. It could add an insight that you didn't have before. Adam, what'd you think?
I think, first of all, I like it because I think we've had several conversations on this show around attribution and attribution models, which last click is the attribution model that Google obviously gets the most value from, because if they clicked on a pay-per-click ad and landed and ended up in the destination, Google's going to want all the credit for that, right? But what I think is happening, and by the way, this is non-data based Adam here, but it's more like what my intuition is telling me. It's a demonstration of a start, or maybe even more than a start, of a pendulum swing. Because if you think about when the kind of the heyday that Google has had over the years, it got to the point where Google had such a giant share of marketing budget because of the ability to tie a click to a purchase. And I think that went for branded keywords. I think that went for regular keywords and everything in between. But I think what they're recognizing is that if all their eggs are in the bottom of funnel basket, it's going to be very difficult for them, if the pendulum swings back to brand, to capture a larger amount of brand spend. And so I believe that Google, part of the reason they want to connect their display ads to branded search ad or branded search words is because I think they want to be able to capture some of the branding wave that I believe is coming. And so I also see it as a sign of the turning of the tides a little bit, where Google, and by the way, AI is a factor in this, consumer behavior is a factor in this, but I think Google is trying to move up funnel a little bit to make sure that they can keep their market share with the pendulum that's swinging right now.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think let's segue a little bit into the topic because we can continue talking about this in that context. I'm really concerned about the future because of this pendulum that is swinging. And you know, for a long time, I'd say the pendulum's been swinging in the other direction. We used to, back in the day, be all about branding, 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 branding as destinations, right? We'd send out our visitors guides. We'd try to be focused on creating awareness and hope that the consideration, and we were, really weren't even in the booking, the actual conversion part at all, let's say 20, 30 years ago, right? It was all about awareness generation. And back then, there wasn't a lot of need to measure, show your value, to demonstrate and tie activities directly to specific outcomes, other than holistically, how's my destination doing? Like, that's how the DMOs operate for the sort of phase one of our existence. Phase two of our existence has been the pendulum going in that direction of we need to attribute specific activities and expenses to specific measurable outcomes. And we struggle with that a little bit. We've talked a lot on this show about causation versus correlation, and we've talked to folks like Zeke, Tourism Economics. We've talked with folks at Zydeco and others about how we're all trying to sort of figure out the solution to that. And people are doing it in different ways, but no one's really figured it out soup to nuts, right? But we've been trying heavily. I think the pendulum's about to swing back because the way people search and book travel is going to fundamentally change. We've talked before about the singularity, the collapse of the funnel. We've talked about how people are going to go to generative tools and they're going to have conversations. It's not a linear funnel. It's sort of more of a, I'm working with a virtual travel agent, right? That would be a good way to think about it. A travel agent that gets to know me and has a preset knowledge. This travel agent knows certain things and is going to look at authorities to inform them about certain things. And if we use that analogy and I say, I go to a physical travel agent and say, I want to go on vacation. And they'll say, well, where do you want to go? If I don't have a specific place in mind, I'm going to give them criteria or attributes of what I'm looking for. Well, I want a beach destination. I want somewhere warm. I want it to be affordable, or whatever the attributes are. Now, if in that case, Myrtle Beach wasn't an area that that travel agent specifically knew about, I'm not in the consideration set for not just the travel agent, but for that consumer. And that's where we're going with AI. Like AI might know enough about Myrtle Beach, but it might know more about another destination, or it might be relying on other sources to understand Myrtle Beach, right? Or any destination. And so we as DMOs face the prospect of being completely irrelevant in that world. You know, if we don't know how to inform the LLM, if we're not a part of the ecosystem where the consumer is actually searching and planning and booking their travel, then we're in trouble, right? Our relevance shifts. So, in my opinion, the pendulum has to swing back to awareness. We've got to double down on branding. We've got to double down on making sure that we are in the consideration set by having unique, bespoke content, not just on our channels, but in multiple channels from multiple sources. I think we're going to have to lose the ego of our brand relevance, you know, like visit Myrtle Beach's brand relevance, and go all in on the destination's brand relevance. Right. It doesn't matter whether someone's touching a Visit Myrtle Beach ecosystem, as long as Visit Myrtle Beach is the one that's created an environment where the destination of choice is Myrtle Beach. So then this means I've got to go in more on content. I've got to go in more with collaborative branding partnerships. I've got to go in more with content creators. I've got to go in more so that Myrtle Beach is top of mind, so that Myrtle Beach becomes top of prompt. Because if the brand is not in the prompt, then we've completely lost the opportunity with the consumer. So that's sort of what I'm noodling in my head.
Yeah.
I'm going to pause there and then I'm going to let you respond to that.
I agree with a large portion of what you said. And I'm going to start with an example, and then I'm going to give you kind of one of the conclusions that I'm drawing here. Number one is I yesterday, for the first time, planned a trip entirely with AI. And my wife's birthday is coming up in November. We don't have time for a full vacation. It's not like we're going to be able to go spend a week somewhere. And so it has to be a quick getaway. It's in November. It has to be warm. It also needs to be a place that's kind of built for relaxation. It needs to be a nice resort that is fun to relax at. And so like we had all these parameters. And so I prompted ChatGPT and said, I need a place in the Western United States that meets this criteria and checks all these boxes. And it gave me seven destinations to choose from, all of which could have been very viable options, right? San Diego, Sedona, Palm Springs, St. George, Utah, Las Vegas. And so it went to Scottsdale. It went through several of these destinations that most definitely checked the boxes of what we wanted for that time of year. And as I went through the process, what I recognized is the last couple of actions before booking have changed, right? It's no longer, okay, I'm going to Google this destination, go to their website, click through their whole directory. The website, in some cases, and in this case for me, was cut out of the experience completely. And on top of that, the destination itself was not even a factor in the content that was demonstrated to me because I went straight to resorts from there, which, by the way, from a value perspective, the resorts are the ones who should, or and hotels are the ones who should capture that transaction. They should get directly to where they want to stay. But the question is, how do you influence the results that lead to being those seven destinations that meet those criteria? And it caused me to do a little bit of research into what I'll call LLM optimization, large language model optimization, because we, for the last however many years, have invested so much in making sure we're at the top of the search engines that now what we're going to have to be prepared for, and search is still very much a factor, so we have to still be relevant there. But we now, as we're building for the future, have to focus a fair amount of energy on LLM optimization. And like you said, the brand has to be in the prompt or you've already lost. However, in a situation like what I was dealing with, where I said, here's parameters, I need a destination that meets all of these parameters for me, how do you make sure you show up there? And I'd love to hear your reaction. And while you react to that, I'm going to pull up some of the research that I've been doing on LLM optimization, because I think some of the information that came back was really interesting to me.
Yeah, so let's deep dive here. I don't want to lose track of the philosophical conversation we're having, but let's have a technical conversation about this. I think the short answer is no one really actually knows yet, right? That it's this early SEO days. But without the ability to sort of test and learn the way we could with early search engines. From my perspective, there's a couple of things you can be doing. One is SEO best practices, right? You've got to continue to do SEO best practices because it does seem like that there's a direct correlation between your visibility, your ability to get indexed, and all the things, right? The faster your site is, your core web vitals, stuff like that matters. So continue to do all your SEO best practices. The number one, well, let me back up. The other thing you need to be doing is unique first-person perspective content, right? You've got to be creating content that no one else has. Everyone has the commodity content about your destination now. Everyone knows Model Beach has 2,000 restaurants, 60 miles of beaches, wonderful family-friendly attractions with sensory-friendly. That's table stakes now, right? And everyone has that down. We've got to create unique first-person perspective content that no one else has, because I think that's what's going to ultimately help people make decisions, and then the LLMs make decisions about what to show to this individual based on their individuality. Technically, from a lot of studies, what I've seen, the number one technical thing you can do to help yourself get published or get more share of the results in LLMs is schema. You got to have schema markup on your website. You got to make sure that the objects of content on your website are in a format that the LLMs can understand the semantics. So schema, which if you're not familiar with it, it's a
Yeah, you need to
markup.
define that for everybody.
So schema is a formalized set of standards for labeling content on your website. So for example, you can label this as a hotel. And these are the amenities of this hotel, right? Or this is the opening times of this business, right? So if you go to schema.org, it lists out objects and labels for every kind of content you can have. And there's a way on your website, either embedded or through a separate file, to define every piece of content on your website and what it is, semantics of what it is. What it seems like from a lot of studies is embedded schema, where you wrap every piece of content in those labels, and talk to your web company, because not every content creator is going to be able to do this. A lot of website CMSs will do this automatically for you. If they don't, then talk to your web company about making sure you're prioritizing schema. But that seems to be, from all the studies I've read, the number one correlation between whether you're showing up or whether you're not. It's not a guarantee. But I think if you do those things right, if you do good SEO content, great unique first-person content in bite-sized pieces, and you do schema, you're going to be doing better than 99% of folks.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on the actual like technical structuring on the website 100%. If you remember when SEO first came out, it was so mechanical that like you could change all the content on a website to be white and on a white background and nobody would ever see it, and you just have just loads of content there. And so it
Keyword
got more.
stuffing, like, yeah.
Yeah, keyword stuffing, yeah. And there's all kinds of black hat things. And so when I say what I'm about to say, I was going back and forth with ChatGPT on like, okay, well, what is the best way to make sure you're showing up in search engines? One of the things it says is content is no longer judged by keyword density or backlinks alone, but by depth, originality, clarity, and contextual relevance. And then it says authority matters. LLMs tend to prioritize credible sources, especially those with structured and consistent content. And so a couple things that stood out to me on that is that number one, I don't think you can game the system with AI the way you were able to game the system with SEO, especially in the early days. You have
100%. Yep.
to provide context, you have to have valuable and credible content, and then it also said that structured and consistent content is going to be viewed as authority, which means, you and I doing this show are going to be viewed by the LLMs as authority on destination marketing. Same with Bill Guy's show, my show, and so on and so forth, right? And destinations who produce a high volume of content are also going to be seen as the experts and credible resources in LLMs as well. And so I think it's really, really important, not just with the shift in brand, but also with the change in consumer behavior of how they're booking trips and how they're going to book trips. Because yes, Google will still be relevant as a search engine for a very long time, but that doesn't mean that consumer behavior is going to be stagnant. The adoption on AI is crazy, and if we're not showing up, we're not putting the building blocks together for the future.
Yeah. And it's very different in search engines. There's a lot of similarities, but with search engines, I think for the first 5 years, everyone chased the algorithm. Like it was a big deal when the algorithm updated. When Penguin and Panda and these other big updates came out from Google, it shook stuff up, and it would take a little while for people to figure out, okay, what are they prioritizing now? So for the first 5 years or so, everyone was just playing cat and mouse with Google. That was what was happening. But then it started to change because things like PageRank and RankBrain came in, and Google got more sophisticated, and you couldn't just make a change on your website and see an instant impact, right? Because that was back in the day. I could change my meta keywords and resubmit to Google and then do a search, because at that time everyone had the same results. It wasn't customized, and I would see what impact I had. So I could like literally cat and mouse to get optimized. But then Google got more sophisticated, and the good SEOs sort of shifted gears. And instead of chasing the algorithm, they went to a mindset of let's fulfill the intent, right? So at that point, by that time, EAT had come out, and then eventually EEAT, which is was that experience, expertise, authoritativeness, and trustworthiness. Those are some of the things that Google looks at. And so we started saying, okay, we've got to be these things. We've got to be experts. We've got to have unique experiences. We've got to be trustworthy. We've got to become an authority. So we started focusing on what the intent of the algorithm was, which has always been to match a consumer's intent with the best response, right? Google wants to do that. They want to fulfill a query. And so that's where we are today. Like the first 5 years of SEO doesn't exist with LLMs. Right, we're at the second phase of SEO, which is we've got to do right by what the intent of the consumer is. We've got to fulfill the requests, and that's why content, unique, individualized, personalized content matters, and even more so, context matters. So the good thing is we've got the tools to do this before. Like it was a time when we were limited. We maybe had one person or even half a person that was dedicated to developing content for our website. And so there's only so much they could do. Maybe they can do one blog a day or two blogs a day or something like that. Now we have content generators. We can expand and create a content army like Visit Model Beach has. We can enlist content creators. We can do different things to dramatically increase our volume. And we don't need to push all of that out in the same way. Like, not all content is built equally. Not all content needs to be on your homepage. We don't want to have the NASCAR effect of a website where there's just a lot of stuff. But what we can do is start to build really robust ecosystems of content where maybe I have a business and maybe there's like 20 articles and videos and social media posts about this business that I can aggregate on one page. And maybe I didn't even create half of those. Maybe I'm going out and finding other people that have talked about this. But adding those unique perspectives of content are going to matter in terms of the LLMs. And I think eventually, this is a temporary phase. I think at some point there will be ways to proactively submit stuff to LLMs. We're seeing licensing agreements of content, things like that. I think this is dragging us back to the original sort of philosophical content. This is where I get a little concerned, is because individually as a destination, little old Visit Myrtle Beach and Myrtle Beach is one small entity relative to, say, a TripAdvisor or an Expedia, or another OTA, or even Google itself, who are going to become the authorities on all of travel, not just Myrtle Beach, but every destination. And so how do I compete in that world moving forward, where Expedia might be the sort of person that's providing the authority on Myrtle Beach versus the Visit Myrtle Beach? I hope LLMs are smart enough to stay hyperlocal and look for boots on the ground versus generic aggregators. But as we move further and further into things like transaction within the LLM, I think that's less likely, right? Because it's going to be hard to standardize something like booking a hotel through the DMOs. That's going to continue to be through the franchises, the big flags, or through the OTAs. So the only way we can fight for relevance is to sort of step back and say, I don't really care how someone finds out about Myrtle Beach and transacts Myrtle Beach. I just care that they come and stay in Myrtle Beach versus somewhere else. I've still got to be able to measure that and justify it, which is going to become more difficult. But now I'm going to focus more on total brand awareness and measurements for that. Like, how many people are actually searching for Myrtle Beach versus my competition? I'm going to care more about sentiment, right? How do people actually feel good or bad about Myrtle Beach in perception in general? Like, how do people perceive Myrtle Beach? And then I've got to start thinking about not Myrtle Beach as one brand. I've got to start thinking about it as thousands of individual brands of people and businesses, right? Because I've got to now empower businesses to become their own content creators, so that every restaurant, every hotel is also a brand that is being put in the prompt at certain times. Like, that's how we win. So the brand is now more valuable than it's been in travel than it's been in probably 20 years.
Yes, absolutely. And you triggered a train of thought that to me, when you say you get a little nervous about this, definitely would be something to get nervous about. And that's the fact that if we really get to the point where transactions are happening within ChatGPT or Claude or whatever AI
Well,
tool
it's
someone's using,
inevitable, right? How
it's
could it
going to
not?
happen.
Right.
Yeah. But what that means is they're going to want a piece of that transaction. ChatGPT is. It's just, of course, they'll have to, right?
Of course.
So now, if let's say you've put hundreds of thousands of dollars over the years into TripAdvisor or into Expedia or some of these other platforms, well, holy cow, that's a whole segment of the industry that might be seriously in danger. And so then it's
Unless they're
like,
the underlying technology. I mean, it's not a
yeah,
coincidence.
sure.
TripAdvisor signed a major deal with one of the large LLMs, right? So I think they're already positioning themselves for that. If I was Expedia or Booking, I'd be looking hard at how can I get
Yeah.
some kind of exclusive deal with one of the major LLMs.
But what that means for destinations and the way they're operating today is if you are not in the prompt, and I'm going back to what used like this is a Stuartism that I'm buying into now at this point. If you are not in the prompt, you've already lost because all the steps that you've built your entire marketing strategy around are no longer a factor in the decision-making process if we truly get to where somebody does the exercise I was talking about that I did for a trip with my wife. And then I actually book it in ChatGPT. Everything we know about conversion is about to be an unknown all over again. And brand really is going to be the only viable, well, I shouldn't say only because there's going to be other ways, but it's going to be the primary viable way to influence travel decisions is by making sure that you're in the prompt.
Yes, for sure. And I mean, it's not the only way, but it's going to be a lot more difficult if you're not, because you look at what you did, seven destinations got lucky. Right. But they really just got lucky. I mean, you could argue that it wasn't luck that they're the most well known or the most favored right now, or whatever the indicators were that made them choose those seven. But if you think about what your prompt was, there were thousands of others that didn't win that lottery, right? And so
Not
some
even
that are
in the
prob
conversation at all.
that some that probably you could argue deserve to be in that top seven more than some of the ones that made it, you know? So of course, certain big destinations like a San Diego are going to be in that prompt. Where this becomes increasingly important is for those smaller destinations. Like, I gotta say, if someone's searching for East Coast beaches, I'm probably going to be okay with Myrtle Beach, right? When the number one searched beach destination in America for domestic travel, we're the most searched out of state beach in the US by people in America. We're going to do okay for those generic terms in Myrtle Beach. But if someone's not looking for an East Coast beach, if they're just saying, I want to go on a family vacation, maybe we're not as lucky. But if I'm a small town, you know, a small destination, a niche destination, my brand is not going to show up on the LLMs unless there's a really solid tether between the intent of the consumer and me. And that tether, 9 out of 10 is going to have to, 9 out of 10 is going to have to be the brand name itself or a sub brand, right? The specific hotel, the specific restaurant, the specific creator, whatever it is. That's why I'm saying the brand isn't just my brand. It's certainly not my destination marketing organization's brand. It is my destination's brand, but it's also a conglomerate of all of the entities that make up my destination.
And dare I say, with the caveat that I am entirely biased, and so I'm going to make sure that I let the audience know, all of our desties, everybody knows where Adam stands on this, and I'm biased, but your paid media budget will not help you optimize for where you're going. The LLMs are not crawling your paid media to decide who
Well,
shows up.
let me argue that a little bit,
Please
right?
do. Please
Because I
do.
think brand awareness, how do we drive brand awareness, right? I think, honestly, part of me thinks paid media, although we could argue what that means, I think your paid media strategy is going to be more important than ever because that might be the only way you can drive that brand awareness. Or it's going to be not the
Well,
only way, but it's going to become an even more important way to drive brand awareness.
yeah, I guess what I mean is it's probably better for me to say you're the money you've spent historically on paid media is going to be very difficult, because and the reason I'm going that route is if you are creating content that it can actually be crawled by the LLM and accessed. So that's one thing. So there's two components of this. Number one is if you want to be in the prompt, paid media is going to be one of an important vehicle. But to actually be crawled by the results, if you're not in the prompt, I don't think your paid media is going to help you at all. So I want to
For
delineate
sure,
between
right?
those two.
Unless it depends how you're thinking about paid media. I'm increasingly associating the phrase paid media with what we've traditionally thought about it, like a display ad, a programmatic display ad, or something like that, right? I think that's sort of the simplest, purest form of paid media that we think about. We're increasingly shifting budget away from things like that, that sort of one and done. Once I've paid, I've leased that space, and once it's done, there's no value beyond that initial impression, right? We're going more into paid integrated partnerships, you know, where the results of that paid partnership aren't just display ads. That's a component, but it's also content, you know, it's also brand affiliation. It's also other things that maybe live beyond these activations. An event. It's stuff that lives on beyond just an impression of a digital ad. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's something that can be either used multiple times or in multiple places. And I think that, I don't know, that even goes back to the roots of, well, what made a good campaign 20 years ago? It's something that's got legs across multiple platforms and can be used over and over, right? But I think we've gotten away from that.
But let me give you an example of that. So when this episode is, if my math is right, because we're recording a
Uh-oh.
couple of weeks before it comes out, you know, we'll already have either crushed it at Esto or absolutely destroyed our reputation. One of those two things has already happened, right? Because we don't know
Well, your
which yet.
reputation, mine's already gone.
That's pretty fair.
Yeah.
But we're working on a partnership with Matador, right? And we've done media buys with Matador before, traditional ones, which are good, right? There's display ads, there's content. We maybe have influencers or content creators coming to town, and it's been fine. But we're launching the first ever. It's the Matador Creator House, right? And I don't know if your team has been looped in on this or how aware you are of it or not, but we're bringing in eight content creators, like artists, musicians, filmmakers, like really creative folks, to come to Myrtle Beach for a month. We're putting them in a beach house, and we're going to integrate them into our community. We're going to have them go out and do tasks. We're going to have some fun things for them to do, but we're also going to have them meet up with our local content creators and people that want to be content creators. And it's a media buy in some sense, but it's also a partnership. It's also a collaboration with multiple brands. You know, the creators are individual brands. Matador's obviously got a distribution channel. They're going to be creating a video, a few video assets as part of it. The content creators obviously all have platforms and all have social followings. They're going to be creating content. Our local media is going to get involved. You know, there's a pride, a community pride of this is happening in our destination. So that's a project that maybe a year ago, the budget we would spent with Matador would have been a lot more linear. It'd be more display ads and some content and stuff. And now it's more of an integrated cross-functional integration between brands, content, influencing the zeitgeist, influencing social conversation a lot more. So to me, that's where paid media is
It's
going.
you're putting paid media into something that's got multiple amplification opportunities, right? The creators can all amplify it. Matador is going to amplify it. Your local media is going to amplify it. Your local creators are going to amplify it. And you're basically taking what could have been a simple media buy dollar and turning it into 50 media buy dollars by making it so scalable. And that's the type of thing I think everyone's got to be looking for. Like, how do you get your dollar to go to do what $10 used to do? And that's where we're all at.
Yeah, and it's not buying more impressions at a cheaper rate,
No,
right?
no.
That's the mistake. Like, I really feel like, you know, we've said, and I've said it before, like, you know, paid media is on the decline. Like, my bet was I would spend less money on paid media in the future and more on owned media. I think I've got nuance to that. I think the lines are blurring between the media
All of them.
types. I think paid, earned, and owned are becoming more integrated and more of one thing. And so with just thinking about every dollar we spend from multiple angles now, it's not just one angle. And I think especially as brand awareness and brand perception become more important as consumer behavior shifts, I think we gotta be more sophisticated in how we think. Awareness isn't just hitting more people with more impressions, right? It's changing the narrative. It's changing what they think about and feel about Myrtle Beach. Because as we said before on the show, if we can change how they feel, we can change how they think, and then we can change what they do. And so what they do is go and have a conversation with an LLM about coming to Myrtle Beach. That's what we need to influence. So in order to do that, we've got to change what they feel and what they think about Myrtle Beach.
And not to, it's somewhat of a cliche to quote Gary Vaynerchuk sometimes because he says a lot of stuff
You
that
gonna
gets
drop an F bomb?
you got, no, I'm definitely not going to. But I do think that he's right when he says that the number one high value thing you can be looking for right now is attention. And I think we should actually switch the word awareness in the marketing funnel for attention. Because if we can actually get intentional attention, we have a much better chance to be in the prompt.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, there's a lot of levers you can pull to get attention, right? You know, I think
Paid, earned, and
we're
shared.
right.
All
And
of them.
in the blending of that, I think one of the things we're really looking at is, and I think all brands are doing this, not just in the DMO side. I think on the product, consumer product side, on the entertainment side, I think brands are looking to collaborate more across the board, right? And I know it's happening a lot on the television and movie and video game production side of things. Like, I don't know if you saw this in one of the recent Madden games. I think it was Madden. There were sponsorships of a stadium that doesn't exist in a game, right? I don't know
I
if you
didn't
saw
see
this,
that.
but have you seen what's the new, the Adam Sandler movie that just came out?
What movie?
The Adam Sandler movie that just came out on
Oh,
Netflix,
Happy
the
Gilmore 2?
Happy Gilmore 2. I haven't seen it yet. I definitely want to see it. But there's a tournament in there that's sponsored by a real company that paid real money to sponsor the tournament in Happy Gilmore, too. Right? So those brand collaborations and paid what paid media is changing. And
Which,
so
by the way, that's the number one downloaded Netflix movie now in the last several years, I think,
right.
based on the number of views and downloads. So what a great placement, because the
Yeah.
attention was there. You paid for a place in the attention.
And I didn't, you know, I don't know what they paid for that, right? I don't know what they paid for that. But the fact that they're treating an entertainment asset, content, the same way you would treat an actual event, a golf tournament event, and spending money to put affiliate your brand with it, that's where we're heading, man, because we've got to get us top of mind so we're top of prompt.
Yep.
That's going to be the future.
I agree with you. I think it's a great conversation.
Yeah. I'd love for more people to join in. I know, you know, Tim Peter, who was on the show a few episodes ago, has mentioned this kind of stuff before. You know, this is not sort of an original thought that I've had. This is stuff that I know is sort of circling out there. So if someone, whether it's Tim, whether it's anyone in the industry, wants to come in and push back on this or elaborate on this, I think it's something that we don't have to necessarily figure out today, but I think the sooner we figure it out, the better we're going to be. Because, you know, the alternative is we gradually die by a thousand paper cuts. We become slightly less relevant each and every day until one day, as stakeholders come to us and say, "Show me what you've done for me lately," and it's going to be really hard to show them that. So I think
Yep.
shifting our focus to awareness or attention measurement in share of voice measurement, things like that, you know. I mean, there's some destinations do a good job of that already, but there's still a lot that are focused on impressions and view through conversions and vanity metrics. And I think we've just got to get higher and have a more sophisticated conversation about what are we actually influencing and how can we demonstrate that Myrtle Beach is winning and maybe in a way that isn't quite so vain, you know, isn't quite so much about us and the Visit Myrtle Beach brand, right? It's about the community brand and community performance. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
I like it. I don't know that I have a whole lot more to add. I think we've one thing that I appreciate is I think you and I both in doing this show have evolved our thinking on a variety of topics by bringing on guests that have opened to our eyes to different perspectives. I think you have had perspectives that I've shifted on and hopefully vice versa. I don't know, maybe not, but I think what we're looking for is for people that see something like you're seeing right now, that there's a pendulum swing that's taking place. Well, if somebody else sees something, come tell us about it and we'll amplify your message. We may push back on it because we may not agree with it, but hopefully at the end, all three of us, if it's me, you, and a guest, have shifted our thinking, because I think that's been the most valuable thing for me is that I've been able to shift my thinking on quite a few things throughout the duration of the show.
Yeah, no doubt. Likewise, you know, it's certainly, you know, some of the sophisticated conversations we've had, mostly with the guests, obviously not with you, Adam, but
Obviously, obviously.
it certainly changed my perspective on things. And you know, people still ask me, it's like, why are you as a DMO person doing a podcast? Like, there's not they don't necessarily see the tangible benefit like they would for a vendor, right? For you, the more awareness you have in the industry, the more likely you are to get a sale, right? You're building your EEAT by doing the show so that people are more likely to transact with the Brand Revolt or Brand Revolt, whichever you prefer to call it. But for me, like, I'm not selling anything to the industry. And I'm certainly not doing this for my ego, although I could understand why people would say I'm doing this for my ego. I'm doing it genuinely because I want to help the industry. Like, it's an industry I love, and if you look throughout my career, this is just something I've always done. I've tried to contribute to whatever community I'm in. I'm just someone that likes to leave a place a little better than I found it. But I think the number one reason I'm doing it is kind of selfish. If I'm being honest, it's I want to meet the smartest people in the industry. I want to hear the fringe conversations that are happening behind closed doors, and I want to be a part of them so I can be a better, I was about to say CMO, so I can be a better president for Visit Myrtle Beach. And I am a better president for Visit Myrtle Beach as a result of this show, because there are ideas and thoughts that I would never have had on my own. And there are opinions that I had that I believe fundamentally were wrong, that now
Well,
I see things a different way. So this is
and
benefiting Myrtle Beach.
if a numpty like you can become smarter on a show like this, I think it really means the possibilities are endless.
Did you Google like old English insults when you said numpty?
No, I did not. I used ChatGPT.
That's hilarious. Numpty. That's good. I'll take
I
it.
got a few more for future shows.
I've been called worse than numpties, but no, I appreciate it. I appreciate everyone listening. I especially appreciate everyone contributing to this show, and the thought leaders that have been on the show or provided comments or emails or whatever it is. I get a lot out of this show, so I appreciate it and everyone. But we'd love to have you come and join us. If you have a hot topic you want to talk about, or you think we're just flat wrong about anything we've talked about, you can always reach out to us. My email is stuart.butler@visitmyrtlebeach.com. Adam, where can they reach out to you?
Find me on Tourism IQ, LinkedIn, or Adam at thebrandrevolt.com.
Great. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Destination. We appreciate you very much. Until next time. I keep messing up the ending. This is 2 weeks in a row.
Yep.
Until next time, this has been Destination Discourse.
Thanks, everybody. Yeah, I think, this issue with the end of the episode really speaks to your numptiness.